You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Joe Rogan Experience Review, where I review the episodes of Joe Rogan's experience that I enjoyed the most. Often I have guests on, sometimes I don't. Today I don't. But this one's an important one to me because it's podcast 1213 with Dr. Andrew Weil. And I really like this guy, and I've read his books on and off for quite some time. I found him a fascinating, he's a general practitioner, GP, and a very kind of alternative doctor. He did the first marijuana research in the United States and is always kind of looking for the alternative cure, the non-prescription cure, the lifestyle that will help you the most, you know, least inflammation, that sort of thing. He stays away from the surgery and the prescription end of it, the stuff that really hurts you, and wants to find natural cures for problems. You know, whether he's right or wrong, that's always been his focus, and he's a very smart guy. You get a lot of information about him online, and his books are really fascinating. So check him out if you don't know much about him. The conversation was great. Very chilled. A lot of understanding back and forth. Joe gave him a little bit of shit about walking on coals and not burning himself or getting blisters under hypnosis, kind of called him out, which I love that about Joe, because, you know, it, in a way, let's be fair, it didn't quite make sense, but otherwise, a fantastic conversation. Dr. Weil starts talking about maca tea, about how good for you it is. It's kind of a green tea. I don't know if you've had, is it called matcha? Matcha or maca? I don't know. Anyway, I've had the tea. It's pretty good. I had it when I went to Japan last year. They sell it everywhere. It's pretty good. It's kind of like a bit chalky, but very tasty. It's supposed to be full of antioxidants. I guess it's a kind of tea that is grown in the shade. Whereas a lot of tea, because I lived in Sri Lanka once and I went to a tea plantation. So a lot of tea is grown direct sunlight, very, very hot. And picking it is a tough job. So maca tea is kind of grown a little bit in the shade, which causes it to kind of photosynthesize in a different way, produce more of the elements to try and, you know, get as much light in as possible. And that makes it very healthy. Bright green. It's very expensive. Very expensive tea as well. Dr. Weil gets into it with Joe about how much he swears, right? Joe swears. A lot of people do. I do. Got no problem with that. But I guess what he's saying is swearing might not be that good for you somehow. Swearing comes from somewhere else in the brain, a different part of the brain. And it's the same part that produces sweating. And it's related to pain and the pain sensors. So he gave the example of if you burn yourself, you'll often be like, ah, shit. Because it's somehow these things are connected. So when you're swearing, you're making some similar connection. I don't know if he was necessarily saying it's bad, but he was just pointing out that it's like a different type of response. It's not necessarily a language portion of our brain. It's more of a reactionary portion. So it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. And I think that's what people mean when they say, you know, oh, don't swear, or you shouldn't swear too much. Because I think what people are assuming, and maybe quite rightly, is that if you swear a lot, you're doing it in response to, you know, a negative input, like burning yourself or having a bad day or just being upset. And it's something you should keep an eye on. So for whatever that means in the health benefits, maybe it just means that you get stressed a lot. I don't know. Keep an eye on it. As I was saying, Dr. Weil did the first research on marijuana. He did it in the 70s. He had to do pretty basic testing for it because the FDA wasn't allowing him to go quite deep into it. So he was just testing basic things like, does it dilate your eyes, of which it doesn't, because cops were saying, you know, they could tell that if your eyes were dilated, then you'd been smoking weed. And then he talks about how edible marijuana is different. It's a different drug altogether. You metabolize it differently. Joe knows the chemical formula for the edible one. I can't remember what it is, but it's a different type of cannabinoid. And your body does break it down in a very different way. That's why it has such a strong kind of, in enough doses, a psychedelic appearance, you know, in your mind. Then Dr. Wheel gets into a little bit of woo-woo, I think. I mean, I don't mean to downplay him. I think he's an incredible guy, far smarter than I ever be. But then he starts talking about the walking on coal stuff and how if you get in the right mindset, and this is like placebo and mind over matter, and how a lot of it's in your head, that you can walk on coals if you're in the right place. And he gave the example of how a few times he did it, got real bad blisters, yet... one time he did it, I guess, at a Tony Robbins thing, but he was like in the right mindset, so he didn't burn himself, even though the coals were a lot hotter. I can't speak to it. I have no experience with it. It doesn't seem like it's possible, but I, you know what? I'd like to believe that it is. It sounds cool to believe that you can just will yourself to some degree out of danger. Joe called bullshit on it a little bit. They talked about how people under hypnosis could hold hot things to themselves that wouldn't give them blisters, whereas otherwise it would. And, you know, that one's a tough one to believe. I mean, you know, what does that mean? You could hypnotize an MMA fighter and then they could fight and not get bruises when they get punched in the face. I mean, to what degree does this make any sense? But Dr. Wheel gives the example of, like, you can put a hex on someone. So, like, there were tribes and witch doctors and things in the past, they would put a hex on someone, which is like a curse, I guess. And that would cause people to believe that they're going to die, and they would stop eating and they would die. And, you know, what does that mean too? Other than just people believing too much in the superstition. Maybe. But it does go for the placebo effect. The placebo effect is real. If you think something that you're doing is going to help you and cure you, there's a good chance that it will. And what opens up that part of the brain, it definitely is something we should study a little bit more. And Joe brings up the fact that there's no user manual for life. And in a way, it would be cool if cities, you know, would centralize. So you know, take a large city like LA. And it has centers for youth and anyone wanting to learn, where they would just put on maybe classes or seminars that would kind of teach you how to interface with the material world, like show you the best way to live your life, kind of like a 12 rules for avoiding chaos Jordan Peterson thing, where they just, you know, say, hey, this is, you don't have to follow this, but these are good ways to live your life. Like, we don't always know who has good parents, who has good family, who has good support, friends, whatever. And, you know, it's not like, even these lunatics that become fucking psychopaths or serial killers, maybe they were always going to do it. But maybe if they had like a bit of an outlet, some way to learn or some direction, instead of just going into a life of crime or becoming a very angry person, if someone was like, hey, you know, you could follow these things if you don't feel good about your life, and maybe incorporate some of them into yourself and move away from the destructive patterns that you have. It's an option. And I really like that idea. I think it sounds really cool. And cities and governments and towns and high schools and whatever should start considering this. I mean, there are classes that show you how to bake cakes. How many fucking cakes are you baking? I love cake too, man. But fuck, skip that class. Bring in a class that just kind of shows you how to, like, organize your life so you don't fuck everything up. That's way more important than cake. I've never even baked one cake since I took a fucking baking class 20 years ago in high school. If I'm wrong about that, message me. If there's some cake masters out there that say, hey, It's all about cake. I'm not saying that I'm right. It's just a thought. That just seemed like the most useless class I ever took. There was probably other ones, but then they got into like they ended up with what people do for a living and how many people are happy. And I guess Joe knew that there was a study where only 13% of people are happy with what they're doing. 13%. And, you know, not to be negative about it, because I try to be glass half full, but that's not easy. You've got to assume that maybe some of those 13% are just possibly even just saying it, just so they can answer positively in a survey that maybe helps make them feel better. Maybe they're kind of on the fence about how they feel about their job, but they say, you know what, today I'm going to be positive about this answer, and I'm going to say, yes, I do love it. And they fall in there, but it's still kind of on the fence. Then he talked about how 60% think it's, like, okay, they can deal with it, but they don't really give a fuck about it. And then if you add up all the other people other than 13%, that leaves 87% of people don't want to do what they're doing or really don't care for it. And that's a real shame. I mean, you know, are we supposed to like work? Maybe not. Maybe work is, you know, our job is just always supposed to be hard and you're supposed to hate it. But maybe not. Maybe there is a better way and this guidance system can help people get there. It's hard to know. But I'd like to think so. I'd like to think if people was given enough information all through school and preparing for their job, that we could get people into things that they really love. And the advantages of that is they would do that better. Then people are happier. Then interacting with society is better because more people are happier. But also more people are doing their job well. So anytime that you request a service, the people doing that service for money are doing it to the best of their ability because they love it. And that's a very positive thing. But it's a great conversation. Definitely worth listening to. And it's one of those ones where you'll learn a lot about the types of medicines that are available today and a better understanding about health and all the rest of it. So, yeah, check it out. I enjoyed it a lot. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. I appreciate you. Peace.